And read with me verses 43 through 45. Matthew 12, 43 through 45. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking and says, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." The Lord just cast out a devil, and he was addressing these Pharisees who among themselves accused him of casting out Satan by Satan. Remember that? They didn't confront him because they were afraid of him. But he knew their thoughts, and he addressed their thoughts, and he said several things about this generation. This generation. Look at verse 34. He said, "O generation of vipers." Generation of vipers. And verse 39, he said, "This is an evil and adulterous or idolatrous generation. It seeks after a sign." Verse 41 says, "Nineveh, the men of Nineveh and Jonah will rise up in the judgment with this generation." And verse 42, "The queen of Sheba will rise up in the judgment with this generation." And then he just said in verse 45, "This is a wicked generation." A generation full of empty, swept, and garnished souls. A people, religious generation, like the Pharisees, but empty. A generation that knows nothing about regeneration. Now, before we go any further, when we read this, every believer who reads God's Word and trembles at it, our Lord said that, "To this man will I look, he is a poor and a contrite spirit and trembles at my Word." God's people read God's Word and they take, it goes to their heart, it convicts them. And when you read this, you applied it to yourself. I'm talking to the believer. Every believer is convicted by sin and feels at times as though they were worse than they were in the beginning. Like the Lord said about this fellow. Don't you? Everybody in here who has been convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment knows that. Well, that's an evidence that the Spirit of God does dwell within you. You're not empty, but you must have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, or else you would not be convicted of sin. The Word of God had no place in you. But if it does convict you, that means the Holy Spirit is convicting you, convincing you of sin, righteousness, that Christ is your righteousness, and judgment, that there will be one. But if Christ was judged for you, then you can rejoice. That's what he said in John 16. He says, when the Spirit comes, he'll convince the world, not every person in the world, mind you, but a people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue, of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And that's evidence that the Spirit dwells in you. So you can't be empty. We're talking about, here the Lord is talking about a soul that is empty, that has been swept and garnished. You can't be empty if the Spirit of God dwells in you, and we'll see that in a little bit more in a little bit. And swept, people in religion try to sweep their sins under the rug, sort of, or try to clean up themselves. No believer does that. They're like Peter, who the Lord was washing his feet. He said, "Don't just wash my feet. Wash me all over." God's people don't try to sweep their sins under the rug, but they go to the fountain filled with blood to wash daily. Nor garnished. This man decorated his house. Decoration, you try to make something appear to be beautiful, don't you? Now, the people of God don't do that, do they? They come naked. They feel like they're naked. And they come to Christ to be clothed with that robe of righteousness. So see, this is not talking to you. So, but it's good, and it warns us, though, and it's preventative. But verse 43 says, "The unclean spirit goes out of a man." Now, everyone is possessed either by the Holy Spirit or by an unclean spirit. There's no gray area. There's no middle ground. Nobody's a free moral agent. No. You know the truth that when Adam fell, he fell, the father of lies, Satan, tempted and caused them to fall. Well, then Satan became the god of this world, who holds men and women captive. He holds them all captive until a stronger than he comes. This is salvation. The captain of our salvation is Jesus Christ. And he must come and take from the god of this world, take his people from him. Take them, lead captivity captive. And that's what he does. But the unclean spirit was in this fella. And it goes out of a man. See that? In verse 43 it says, when he's gone out of a man. He goes out willingly. He goes out purposely. He goes out of his own will. He's not cast out. He just goes out for a season, briefly. All right? There are many openly wicked people in this world who get religion. And this is what our Lord is speaking of here. Openly wicked people who lived openly wicked lives, immoral lives, who get religion. Some in here were like that. And it seems like a miracle has occurred when a notorious fella or woman or goes through a change. Something happens. Here's a typical scenario. A fella is a hard-living, hard-drinking fella, wild and mean, and somehow or another he ends up at one of these revivals, you know. And through a slick-talking, devil-filled preacher, a charismatic fella, a preacher who warns about the dangers of hell and tells how much God loves everybody and wants to save them, and your life's a mess, and you want to change your life, don't you? And the man is somewhat convicted about his hard life, and he wants to do better, and he's just made a mess of things all his life. He wants to live right, and so they start playing music and singing hymns, and he feels something come over him. He just feels something, and he is compelled to go down front and give his heart to Jesus, like the preacher said, and everybody's crying and so happy, and a good feeling goes over him, and the preacher tells him he's born again. And he never heard one message about Christ and him crucified. He never heard a message about the sovereign God and holy God, and about his how God hates sin and all workers of iniquity, and doesn't have one clue why Jesus Christ came, what he did when he came, who he did it for. He just believes God loves him and been trying to save him for all these years, and now God is so happy that he's finally let him into his heart And he just feels real good about himself, and everybody makes him feel that way. And now he's so happy, and he cleans up his life. He cleans up his life. He quits his drinking. He starts going to church. He starts witnessing to people. And they make him a Sunday school teacher in about 30 days because he's so zealous, you know. And then he gets so self-righteous. And he starts coming down on his fellow sinners, you know. But he's empty. He's empty. He's void of any true understanding of who God is, what He is, what sin is, who Christ is, what the gospel is, what the truth is. Void. He's empty of any understanding at all. If you'll ask the average religious person any question concerning the truth, they can't really tell you, can they? They're empty. Ignorant. They're ignorant. Ask them any question about God's will, God's purpose, who Christ is, why He came, what He did. Ask them a question. They're empty, so shallow, so ignorant, aren't they? They cannot tell you. They cannot give you a reason for the hope that lies within them. Not a scriptural one, right? It's all based on feelings in it. It's all based on an experience. Everything that happened to them was, well, I used to be this way, and now I'm not. Or so-and-so, you know, it was a miracle happened to my child, and I just know it was of the Lord, and you can't tell me I'm not a Christian. And on it goes. Isn't it? That's so typical. That's the typical scenario. And swept, they clean up their lives. Swept. You ladies, before vacuum cleaners, you know, we used to use a broom. Did a broom ever really clean anything? You just move dirt from one place to another, don't you? Huh? Don't you? I go out in my shop every now and then. It gets covered with sawdust or whatever. And take that big broom and start sweeping. And it's all over. And it looks pretty good for a while. And you come back in a little while and it all settles right back down on the floor again. You don't move it anywhere. Or they used to literally sweep it under the rug. Swept. That doesn't clean anything. Garnished, decorated, like put dead flowers on a grave. And like I said in the beginning, a true child of God who has the Holy Spirit of God, Christ dwelling in him and her, or her, is not empty, but of his, they're not empty, but of his fullness have all we received. Grace for granted. Full of the Spirit. You know, everyone that trusts Christ is full of the Spirit. And because religion has so corrupted the truth, to make being filled with the Spirit out to be just all this hoopla, you know, all this wildfire and all this talking in tongues and you know, cleaning up your life and living right and all that, that's not the Spirit of God. Our Lord went into great depth about what the Spirit of God does when He comes into a person, doesn't He? In John 14 through 16, three chapters. Spirit, when He has come, whom you know, He said, who is in you, whom the world doesn't know. What He does, the Spirit of God, is fills a person, a child of God, with the knowledge of Christ. Fills them with the knowledge of Christ. You cut into the heart of a believer. You cut down into the heart of a believer and you'll find their heart full of Christ. You get to the heart and soul of a believer and everything they believe, all their hopes, all their peace, all their salvation, all everything they know, all they know about the Scripture is Christ. They're full of understanding of Him. Not we know in part. Paul even said that. We preach in part. But we know this, Christ is all. And in Him dwelleth all the fullness. They know that. That's what it means to be full of faith in Christ. If I ask you any question, you'll answer it concerning Christ, won't you? They're full of love to Christ. You say, oh, I don't. Hold on now. Hold on now. Do you love Christ being sovereign Lord? Do you want to be? Aren't you glad He's the Lord and sovereign over all? Huh? Don't you love Him being Lord? The world doesn't want Him being Lord. They like thinking that they made Him Lord. They like thinking they let Him be Lord. Don't you love that He is Lord? That your soul's in His hands? Everything and everyone is in His hands? Don't you love that? King, Savior, don't you love the salvation that's of the Lord? That salvation is of the Lord? That it's His? Because if He gives it, He won't take it away. When the Lord asked Simon, old Simon Peter, not a worse sinner in the book, is he? I can relate to Simon. And when in the end, the Lord said, sitting around that fire, and Simon was more so ashamed of himself. He was doubting his salvation. He had no hope in himself. None whatsoever. He thought, I'm the worst disciple here. If I'm a disciple at all, I'm the worst one here. I'm no better than Judas. That's what he thought. I'm no better than Judas. I did what Judas did. That's what he thought. And the Lord looked at him and said, Simon, lovest thou me? Did he have to stop and examine himself? Did he have to stop and think? Out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Yea, Lord. Thou knowest. You know I do. You put it there. You know I didn't before. I had no thoughts of you whatsoever. You came to me. You chose me. That was my hope then. It's my hope now. That you love me. But yes, I do. Forgive me how I act like I don't love you, but I do. If I asked you that, wouldn't you answer it from the heart? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Now I know it. They're full of love. How do you know? How do you know someone loves Christ? How do you know they're full of Christ? Well, those that are full of love to Christ, you let a man stand up day in and day out and preach Christ. Keep preaching Christ. He doesn't preach anything else. He just keeps preaching Christ. Sunday, Wednesday. Sunday, Wednesday. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. He just keeps preaching Christ. Huh? Who's going to keep listening to that? One that loves Christ. One that loves Christ. Religion is empty. People are empty of a knowledge of Christ, a love for Christ, a love for God. Their religion is empty. The people in it are empty, and they need many things to make them feel fulfilled, to fill them. They need music, don't they? The better the music, the better they feel. Drama. They need somebody to act this out, because they're all, you know, they want to. When the Word of God doesn't enter into them and touch their hearts, they need somebody to act it out for them. Entertainment. They need to be entertained. The Word of God is not enough. Preaching of Christ is not enough. That doesn't strike their fancy. They need programs. They need activities. Keep them busy. Child of God doesn't want to keep busy. He wants to sit still and hear the salvation of the Lord. Keep people interested. Empty people need things to keep them coming. Keep them coming. Got to keep coming up with all different kind of things to keep them coming, because they're quiet, empty. So is there anything wrong with these things? Good music and entertainment and programs and activity, anything wrong with it? Yes, there is. It's not in the Scriptures. They didn't do it in the church, early church. Besides, it's wood, hay, and stubble. And there's not time enough for that stuff. There's not enough time to preach the gospel as it is. Time is short, so we buy the truth and sell it not. And if there's no gospel being preached, it's an abomination to God. If we're meeting to hear from God, then if anything else is done, it's an abomination. But those who love Christ, those who are full of Him and full of love to Him, they keep coming back to hear Him. That's how you know. And I have to conclude, people who come here and go away. And can go somewhere else and sit and listen and go through all of that stuff that I just mentioned. That really appeals to them. I have to conclude that Christ is not enough to them. We've heard, and I'm not talking about myself here, but we've heard from this pulpit some of the best messages ever been preached by man. This man and other men, Christ high and lifted up. God exalted. Christ exalted. That's glory. It doesn't get any better than that. And those who have truly heard His voice, those who have seen His glory, can't go back to that. Many of you came out of fleshly religion. Those very things I was talking about. You came out of that. And you were empty, weren't you? And when you heard Christ preached, filled your heart with joy and gladness and peace and rest. And then from then on, that's all you want to hear it. That's who you want to hear. And you couldn't possibly go back to that. Like Peter, Simon, again, said, to whom shall we go? We'll go back to that. And, well, this is what this fellow did. The unclean spirit in verse 44 said, I'll return to my house. He walks through dry places, first of all, dry places. Religion is dry, isn't it? Oh, it has all this outward show, but it's really dry. Of the water of life. Dry places make a lot of noise. Dry places make a lot of noise, don't they? So Brother Scott used to say, this false gospel is like a dog walking through dry leaves. He had a way with words. Dry places, seeking rest. You are not going to find rest in religion. They're going to keep you active. You're not going to find rest. My. Find none. And he says, I'll return into my house. See who owns this place? Our Lord said, a strong man's house is secure. He has his goods. That's his goods. Satan has hold of people. And when he keeps his goods, his house is in peace, the Lord said in Luke 11. It's in peace when he has it. But now if a stronger than he comes, there's going to be a battle. And this is what we're going to talk about in the next hour. A warfare. And but he keeps his house, and there's no struggle. But sometimes Satan, to make a mockery of God, to make a mockery of religion in general, to show that that there's nothing in this religion and this Bible and God and Jesus and all that. He has a fella go back to his wild and wicked ways. He got religion, but he lets them go back into that. Sometimes he keeps them in self-righteous religion, empty religion. And sometimes he lets them go back, and says in verse 45, he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And enters in and dwells there and stays there. And the last day that man is worse than the first. That's the way it is with this generation. Now it's true, our Lord, and if you're like me, when you read passages like this, if you tremble, in 2 Peter chapter 2 says, if after escaping the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than them than the beginning. It had been better not to have known the way of righteousness than after known it, they've known it, they've turned from the holy commandment delivered unto them. And then it's happened, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to the wallowing in the mire. There's probably not a believer in here that doesn't greatly convict them. Right? That is true. And in Hebrews 6, it says this, And it should convict us. It warns us. But Hebrews 6 says it's impossible. For those who were once enlightened and tasted the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they should fall away, to renew them again. They crucified to themselves the Son of God and put Him to open shame. Are you convicted of that? But now listen, I told you on the end, good. But He says, beloved, we're persuaded better things of you. Things that accompany salvation. If those passages convict you, be of good cheer. A stronger than He who said sin shall not have dominion over you. I do. Be of good cheer. And in Hebrews 11, listen to this. These passages, oh my, listen to this. It says, in one place it says, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But He says, we are not of them that draw back, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And then He says, God's provided some better thing for us. It's good to be convicted. It really is. And here's the scripture that I keep turning to. None that trust in the Lord shall ever be desolate. None of them that trust in the Lord shall ever be forsaken. He that believeth on me, Christ said, hath. Not shall have, but hath everlasting life. If you really do. That'll keep you coming. Brethren, one writer said, keep yourselves in the love of God. That doesn't mean keep yourself lovely to God. Make yourself love. It means keep coming back unto the sound of the gospel that tells you God loves sinners. Keep coming back to the city of refuge. Keep coming back to that fountain filled with blood. And we don't want swept. We want washed. We want to be empty. We want to be filled with His Spirit. We don't want to be garnished, but we want to be robed, don't we? We want to be robed. We really do. So what are these seven spirits worse than the first? I don't know. Nobody does. Nobody does. There are 20 things listed in Romans 1. There are 17 mentioned in Romans 3, Galatians 5. So, I don't know. But I believe it means this. That man is a, you know, seven is a word, number for perfection. Seven has reference to our God and His perfect holiness. Well, that implies that man is as perfect as God is in holiness. Man is just as wicked and evil and sin. Whatever it is, man's full of it. This old man in us is evil. Seven spirits, perfectly wicked in every way. But our hope is built on nothing less. Can you finish it? And Jesus Christ's blood and righteousness. Dare not trust. See, religions trust in a sweet frame, a feeling, and an experience. We wholly lean on the Lord Jesus Christ's name, His Word. I love what Martin Luther, and I'll quit with it. Martin Luther said this. He said, feelings come and feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. You know, one day you feel like you believe, next day you feel like you don't. One day you feel rotten to the core, next day you feel don't feel rotten to the core. One day you feel hot, one day you feel cold. Up, down, in, out. Feel like a believer, feel like a devil. Feelings come, feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. Luther said, my hope is in the Word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. And you can trust Him. You can trust Him. He that believeth on the Son hath life. Okay.
Thank you.